to act in such a way that it's marked by kindness. So today I want to share a message titled Choose Kindness and How to Do That. In other words, how can you and I, as an individual and then collectively, be God's representative through Christ in being kind in every way to the people that we bump into on the fairgrounds? So let me just kind of break out what choose kindness means. The word kindness is this. It means to meet a need and avoid human harshness. If you want to be a representative of God in terms of living in the flesh, we need to meet the needs of people, but do it being free of harshness. And so kindness is this idea, this concept that you can be somehow kind and loving to people and it can make a difference. Now, the big idea of the entire message and the entire time at the fairgrounds is this. Every attitude, every word, and every action will be marked by kindness. Understand, attitudes are something we carry with us without saying a word. You can tell if a person has a kind attitude just being in their presence. Every word we speak needs to be filtered. It needs to be carefully thought through before it's spoken. And our words need to be marked by kindness. Now, the last thing are actions, and that's huge. Actions communicate kindness without even involving anything spoken. And so whether it's an attitude, our words, or our actions, we will choose kindness as a congregation. Now, let me just say this. The week is a very demanding time. Actually, it's like a 9-day period. And many of you have done this before, I have, and so there are stress points in it. But here's the insight I just have to share. When we understand that the privilege of being on the fairgrounds as a church family, what an amazing opportunity that is, when the mission is focused on, it can minimize and help us cope with the stress. I've come to realize that the times I've gotten stressed up in past years, and everybody here knows, has experienced that, it's when I get my focus off the mission and I start looking at the challenge. But when I stay focused on what God's calling is, and an amazing privilege it is, let me tell you, that makes the difference. You see, no other church has the opportunity like we have, having a tent and doing pancakes the entire time at the fair. I want you to view it as a privilege. It's an opportunity that God has given to us as a people. And the tent that we're a part of, called the pancake tent, we will serve pancakes, but there's something bigger than that. We will first serve kindness. We will choose to do that. Do you realize you can be as kind as you want to be to the people in your life? It's a choice. Sometimes we get off kilter and sometimes we get harsh with people. We lose focus. But let me tell you, when an individual chooses kindness, you can make the difference in your home. How you treat your wife or your husband, your kids, your parents. If you as an individual decide you want to be a kind person, you can be as kind, as Abraham Lincoln says, as kind as you make up your mind to be. And so we want to choose kindness. Now, I want to tell you, as a tent, for the entire time we're down there, we're going to be a tent of kindness. We, in everything we do, our attitudes, our sense of words, what we speak, and our actions, we just want to be kind. So what I want to do this morning is I share three simple thoughts to prepare our hearts for that 9-day missions trip to the fairgrounds. And I want to share how we can be prepared each day to go down to the fairgrounds and to be kind to the people around us. So hopefully you have your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Number one, the first thing we have to understand is this. You and I must fill your kindness tank each morning. You have inside you a container. You can call it your heart. You can call it your soul, whatever it is. But think of it as a tank. And you have to fill that tank with kindness before you give it out. The people who are unkind in life, and we all know those folks, are people that have an empty tank. There's nothing there to give out. But if you intentionally fill your tank, your heart, with kindness before you go down, let me tell you, you'll have something to give out. In Corinthians 13:4, Paul says, love is patient, love is kind. Now here's the deal. When Jesus lives in our hearts, we've asked him into our life, his love is there. And that love is what we draw off of. And in this container, in this tank inside of us, is the love of God himself. And so Paul says love is patient and it's kind. That's a part of it. Read with me Colossians 3:1 in your notes. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Here's what it's saying. Make a decision in the morning or whenever you have time with God that you're going to fill your tank. Set your hearts, set your minds on things above. Be conscious and aware of how to be kind to people. Read with me Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is saying it another way. You got to get dressed properly. And Paul says you clothe your life with certain kind of garments. Not the outer garments like a shirt and pants, but your soul and spirit. And he says this, here's the clothing. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Fill your soul. Clothe yourself on the inside with a mindset of kindness toward other people. Now, here's three areas that we want to be kind in. Our attitudes, our words, and actions. Those are the three biggies. So when you clothe yourself and you fill your tank with kindness, you get up in the morning, if that's the time you meet with God, you read his word, and you become intentional that your attitude throughout the day towards every person you meet will be kindness. You say, help me to be careful in filtering my words that I speak to every person. And as I filter them, may they be kind words. And then the other thing is actions. Actions need to be free of harshness. They have to be things that can meet a need and make a difference in people's lives. But when you think of these three areas, if your tank is filled with the right kind of stuff called kindness, whatever you do throughout the day, you're going to be able to share that kindness with other people. So individually and collectively, when we go to the tent during this fair week, we're going to choose kindness. We're getting some t-shirts made up, and if you want one, they'll be available to, you can sign up for one next week. But it's choosing kindness, and we have to be a people that have to be guarded in how we act, our attitudes, and our actions. Here's a quote. Try to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. Isn't that good? Go with a mindset that your tank is filled with kindness. And every person you bump into, you want to be a rainbow in somebody else's cloud. You know why? A lot of people on the fairgrounds will have clouds in their life. They're trying to figure life out. They're hurting, they're wounded, and your kindness can make a difference in their lives. Okay, so number one, fill your tank, your heart, your soul, before you go down there with this thing called intentional kindness. Number two, the second principle is this. Look for opportunities to be kind. In the book of 2 Samuel, there's a story about David. David is now king. But he grew up with a fellow by the name of Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul. Saul was the previous king. What happened was Saul and Jonathan both died in battle. And David, who was a good friend with Jonathan, said this. It's in your notes. Let's read it. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" You know, the kindness principle is amazing. If you are kind to somebody and they have other family that may be miles away, let me tell you, the people that are miles away will be kind to you because you've been kind to somebody in their family. Does that make sense? Let me tell you, there's a principle here that's huge. You show kindness to people, and let me tell you, it's going to come back around. It's just a principle of life. And so David, because Jonathan and he were good friends, and maybe they made a decision before Jonathan died to say, "Hey, I'll watch out for your family, you watch out for mine." I don't know, but here's the deal. David says this, "Is there anybody left to whom I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" I want you to have opened eyes when you go to the fairground. You're looking for opportunities. You see, when we look for opportunities to share what's in our tank, let me tell you, God will provide them. You will have perhaps hundreds of them throughout the week. Because you want to share kindness because God has put it in your heart. Now, in your notes, there's a quote here. "The people who need kindness the most are the people who think the least of themselves." It's true, isn't it? People who are really down on themselves, a word of kindness and encouragement can make the difference in their life. A month and a half ago, Pastor Jack and I went to Aberdeen, Maryland, where the conference office is. And I can't remember if it was going down or coming back, but we stopped at a Love's truck stop and went in there, and I bought some coffee and had to put a lid on the cup, and I went to the counter to pay for it. And the lady behind the counter, she just stepped away. And she went over to the coffee area. It was a few feet away, and she grabbed something and came back. And she handed it to me. I had put on top of my cup of coffee, a cold lid, you know, just a lid for like soda. I put that on top. She went and got a lid that was for hot stuff. You know, it's shaped a little different. You can sip on it or whatever. She comes back and she hands it to me. I was the recipient of kindness that day. I didn't ask her to do it. I didn't know I had the wrong lid. I mean, she did it on her own. And I got to tell you, when I left there and I thought about that, it touched me because she did it on her own to show kindness to a customer. I want you to look for people, opportunities, who may have the wrong lid on their life. They're going through life and they're in a tough spot. They need some help. They're trying to figure stuff out, but they're struggling. Look for them. Opportunities abound if you have the eyes for it. And when a group of people as individuals or collectively as a team demonstrates kindness repeatedly, let me tell you, you can influence a whole bunch of people all at one time. We want to be the kindness tent. We want to be intentional. We're going to serve pancakes and eggs and do breakfast food and all that. But you know what we're serving first? Kindness. Meeting a person's need without being harsh. Being gentle and trying to help people. And it'll mark us as a people. So our assignment when we get down there is to choose kindness in everything we do. And I just want to say to you as a people, I am so proud of you for all the things you've done over the years and the different ministry opportunities we've had, just to be a people that can make a difference. I will say this. In 2008, we did the tent with the Treadwell United Methodist Church. You know, they had come to us, and they were ready to let go of it, and they asked if we'd want to do it. And we didn't know what we were doing, so the first year, we did it together. 2009 through this year is, you know, we did it every year except COVID year 2021. So this is the 15th year we're doing this. Now, I want to say this. I'm excited about the opportunity. You know why? It's a privilege. It's a privilege. We as a church family get to make a difference in an event in Walton. And thank you for being a part of it. And remember, keep your eye on the mission, because the stress will come. But you're focused on the mission. I will choose kindness and be that representative for God while I'm down there. That'll carry us through the week. I mean, that's our ultimate mission. So look for opportunities throughout the entire day as you're down there to touch other people's lives. Here's a quote. Be the reason someone smiles today. Isn't that good? Hey, be the reason you can bring a smile to somebody's life. I mean, there's a lot of hurting people, and be that individual. So number one, fill your tank before you go down. Spend time in the Word. Pray, Lord, fill me up. Number two, look for opportunities wherever you go to how can I be kind to people and surprise some people. Surprise them. Maybe you want to buy them a meal. Maybe it's just some courtesy or words of encouragement, but be the reason to make other people smile. And then finally, number three. Third point is this. Dispense kindness. I want you to be a kindness dispenser for the entire time. What does that mean? You know, when you squirt one of these or you hit one of these machines and out comes this, disinfectant, or you wash your hands and so forth. When anybody bumps into you, just kind of dispense kindness. Just be prepared. Be ready. So read with me now this text, 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 8. It's the longer version of the story of David and how he was looking for someone to show kindness to in Saul's family. Let's read it. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Maker, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar." So David had him brought from Lo Debar, from the house of Maker, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Let me share some insights to the story. When Saul had to flee the palace, then someone was carrying this little Mephibosheth and they dropped him. And he became crippled in both feet and both legs. And so years passed, and Mephibosheth, who was a descendant of the king, is now living in a place called Lo Debar. David calls for him. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, is probably afraid. You know what? Because oftentimes they'll put to death anybody in the former king's family lineage. So Mephibosheth may be thinking, man, I may be put to death because I was a part of that family. So he comes into David's presence. And David says, don't be afraid. I want to show you kindness. I want to show you God's kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. Now, as we read through the end of this passage, here's what it says. Mephibosheth, who is now growing up, is still crippled. And he says this, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Mephibosheth was crippled in his feet, but listen, he was also crippled in what he thought of himself. He called himself a dead dog. You see, people today have a self-image of what they think of themselves. And we will bump into hundreds and thousands of people. They could be crippled physically, but they also could be crippled in their minds of what they think of themselves. David was a voice into this man's life to change that. Your voice on the fairgrounds, your actions, your attitudes could change somebody's future because you show them kindness. Now, what happened here, David was king, and he restored land to Mephibosheth and Ziba and the servants. And, I mean, he was able to do that on that kind of a scale. But listen, your presence of choosing kindness can help restore people's view of who they really are in Christ. Because many people are suffering from a crippled self-image of who they are. And God wants them to view themselves differently going forward. So David literally embraces Mephibosheth. And he says, you're going to eat at my table from now on. And he spoke words of life into someone's life who had great darkness. You're going to have opportunities to bump into people who have great pain and darkness in their lives. And your 30-second or 60-second encounter with a stranger can make all the difference. It could help turn a person around and change the way they think. Here's a quote. Sometimes it takes only one act of kindness and caring to change a person's life. Whoever makes the pancakes, I hope they're good. But listen, there's something higher level that we're serving. It's called kindness. Every person, whether you're a waiter, a waitress, whether you're a cashier, whether you're going to be in the grill area, the kitchen area, maybe a runner, makes no difference. We are first there to serve kindness to every person we meet. And when we do that, you can change a Mephibosheth. Your words, your actions, your love, your caring, you choosing kindness can make the difference in another person's life. That is the privilege, folks, we have, and we have to protect that and guard it and fulfill it and carry it forward. So three simple thoughts. Number one, fill your tank before you go down. Don't go down an empty tank. That's a recipe for disaster. Fill it up before you go. You want to have it in you before you, God's love in a fresh portion. Number two, look for opportunities. They're all over the place. And by the way, don't wait until the fair to start being kind, all right? You can start today. It's okay. I mean, it really is. Choose kindness today with the people you you live with. I mean, be intentional. Just intentional in words and actions of free of harshness. Live an entire day just being a blessing to people in that way. And then number three, listen, you are a dispenser, a human being, of kindness to other people that can make the difference in their lives. And that's our mission for the entire 9 days we're down there. Conclusion. Read with me verse 11 from 2 Samuel 9. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Here, listen closely. I think over time, even though Mephibosheth may have never been healed of his crippled feet, I think what he thought of himself was healed over time. Because David showed kindness and love to someone that was disadvantaged and hurting in life. And he ate at the king's table. You have the privilege and opportunity of helping people eat at the king's table. What does that mean? God has a table for them through what Christ has done for them on the cross. And we want to point them in that direction so that they too can share in what Christ has done for them. All right, couple quotes here. Here's the first one. Wherever there is a human being, there's an opportunity for kindness. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? It's way cool. Wherever there's a human being in your home, in your church community, at the fairgrounds, there's an opportunity for kindness. And then here's the last one. Pastor Jack bought a bunch of these. We're going to put them up around the tent. Kindness starts here. I want it to start with you. You are in charge of you and the degree of kindness that you will dispense to other people. You're it. I'm it. And so kindness will start individually, and it'll start at the tent. And the entire 9 days, we will do our best to choose kindness. That's our mission. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've been kind to us through what Jesus did for us on the cross and dying for our sins and being raised again. And we thank you for that. I pray for that entire 9 days, that this congregation, individually and collectively, will be intentional to choose kindness every day. May it mark us as a people. And I pray for favor through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we can be a presence on the fairgrounds the entire time that will turn hearts toward you through simple acts of kindness. Bless us, multiply it. We pray for favor upon us. We commit it to you, and we give you thanks in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.